Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Voices of Integrity Beauty. My name is Roberta Michelle Sycon, and I'm the founder of Motivation for You, and it's the Vision Integrity Beauty Women of Excellence. Integrity Beauty Women of Excellence is a unique Christian ministry for women that includes pageantry, motivational speaking, and advocacy. Our program utilizes members' life experiences to enhance the lives of others and increases the participants' self-confidence and passion for Christ. Integrity Beauty is not a beauty pageant. It is a Christian pageant ministry that uses the crown and the sash as a tool to empower women to know that they are daughters of the King. The crown and the sash is used as a trademark of Ms. Helen Albert, our visionary, which also represents that though we may be broken in God's sight, we are His princesses. I'd like to introduce to you our 2015 Integrity Beauty Woman of Excellence, Ms. Shavela Davis. Today, Shavela will be talking about how to stay encouraged through college. Hi, Shavela. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Roberta?
I'm well. Thank you for joining me. I know you're on the road traveling, so I won't keep you long. But I wanted to ask you, what are some thoughts that you have on how to encourage students to stay encouraged while they're going through the process of getting their degree?
Well, I can only speak, and I try to always speak from experience, because right now I'm in school working on my master's degree, and I definitely noticed that, you know, I got my undergrad degree when I got out of high school, and being older, 35, and going back to school after a long break, it makes it harder, especially when you're working full-time. So I know I try to keep myself encouraged, because when I get off of work, sometimes I don't feel like reading or doing assignments. So I just have to look at the bigger goal as, you know, I don't have that much longer to go, you know, and this is just a piece of time in my life that I'm, you know, investing in myself to make, you know, to make it better for me in the long run. So I have to try to keep that in mind, because I have to be honest, there's days I get off of work and I'm like, oh, I don't feel like reading this. I don't feel like doing this paper. I don't feel like doing this assignment. And it gets hard. Especially now that I'm older, I could definitely tell the difference from undergrad to graduate school. It's a big difference.
Yes, ma'am, and I'm going through the process of getting my bachelor's in social work, and I have two more semesters to go, and then I'll be graduating with my BSW, and then I have four additional semesters to get my MSW. So I wanted to say, like, right now where I'm at, I'm on my break for summer. And it's kind of funny, because I guarantee you can totally relate to this, that all these things you need to get done, you're like, oh, I'll put it off until break. And then break comes, and then it's like, oh, man, I'm so burned out, I don't want to do anything. So your stuff keeps piling and piling and piling up. And I wanted to ask you if you had any thoughts of ways that you can try to get caught up on the things that that you have to do. And give me suggestions.
Definitely you have to have some type of time management. You know, of course, any time, like what I would do when I was in school and what I do now, I look at the syllabus and I try to see when things are due and what, you know, what time, because it's usually when they give you the syllabus, it's the outline of the whole class for the period of time that you're in it. So the best thing to do is see when a midterm is due, when a paper is due, when you have to have certain things read by or assignments done, and try to, like, just prioritize, just like if, like, look at it like a job. When I was a case manager, mental health case manager, I had a planner, and I lived by that thing. I had to write everything down. I had numbers in there. I had appointments, dates, times, everything, because you're human, you'll forget. And the best way to try to do that is make sure that you're, you know, that you're organized in some capacity. I'm not the best organized person, but I do try to, you know, have dates and deadlines written down so I know, ooh, I got to get this done because X, Y, Z, and try to, you know, just prioritize them. That's the best thing I could advise. And I know like I said, I speak from experience. That's what I try to do for myself, because I, you know, that the nation, it gets you in every time. You think, okay, I can wait, and then it'll just pile up on you real quick. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to get any sleep this week because I got to do this, I got to do that. Plus work, you know, so that's the best thing I would advise to do.
And to piggyback off what you were saying, that's what I do too, is I have a planner. And then what I do is I have, like, say, for instance, orange would be when, like, you highlight that tape, like, orange for that date if a paper's due or if there's some homework that's due. You use red if there's mm-hmm. a test. Blue if you
right.
have a presentation. Like, I have mine color-coded so I know when what's due and how. And I have the whole, as soon as the semester starts for me, too, I do the same exact thing. I write each one of my classes down in my date, my planner, and then I color-code it. And I write everything down that's due. And anything that they say in school that's due or you need to do, I write it in the same planner that I, same thing that you use for your life because you have to schedule everything. And I have a question because I don't know. Is the master's set up the same way as an undergraduate or do things change? Because I was told the only difference of a master's versus an undergraduate is you have more books per class, but it's basically just more in-depth work than what you had in the undergraduate class.
Right. It's more in-depth, and then with the graduate degree, you have a concentration, like direct practice or, you know, if you want to work with older people, it's like a direct concentration. So you're more focused in that specific, like, field or skill that you want to do post-graduation, graduate degree. So I think it, in many ways it narrows it down more because, you know, when you're in undergrad with social work, you have a lot of electives you have to take. And,
right.
you know, it might not be exactly, it gives you, like, the undergrad social work degree gives you more of a broader sense of, you know, learning and doing electives and finding out things, whereas with, you know, master's, by that time you should know exactly what area and field under the umbrella of social work you want to work in because it's such a broad umbrella. You know what I mean? There's so much you can do.
Exactly. Yeah, because we're generalist social workers, that's first. And then, yeah, then when we go to our master's. Now, for my college, they had a seller accelerated program for 1 year where a lot of the classes that we had to take, like, I was looking at how they set up the classes for if you want to do 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year. I was looking, but now that they don't do the accelerated classes anymore, which stinks, they have a 2 year program, and it seems like a lot of the 2 year program, you're kind of rehashing the same classes, but they're upper division of the same exact class you just had. Like, there's a few different ones, like grant writing and stuff like that, but for the most part, like human behavior, you have to do that all over again, but it's on a higher level, social policy, same thing.
Really?
Do you have any
okay.
experience? Yeah. So, like, is your master's program the same? Because I know that could kind of sway people for wanting to go back to school for their master's when they see that they have to do all the almost kind of the same exact stuff all over again, but it's just a different concentration, like you said. I just was curious if you have any way to.
Well, I kind of just jumped out the field totally altogether. I'm getting my master's in business administration and with an emphasis in leadership. Yeah, so I totally just jumped out. Like, I really thought about it before I went back to school. I had been out about 10 years. And I really just thought about it, and I was like, I really want to do something different, and that's where I chose the MBA. So I have, you know, I did look at master's social work programs prior to choosing my, you know, choosing the school and the degree that I'm going after. And I did notice that, and like you said, with the advantage of the accelerator programs, they do eliminate a lot of those classes that BSW students have already taken. You know, and it's usually a year. I think I know at when I went to UC, they had an accelerated program, and they had where you would start in the summer and finish that next summer, something like that, to that extent. And, you know, and it eliminated a lot of things. So I do see that is a deterrent for some people, you know. And then just the social work, it, like I always say, with social work, you have to have a passion for working with people and wanting to help people. That really has to be in your core, in your heart, because, it's, you know, as most people know, social workers don't get paid a lot, just like teachers. People that have the really hard, gratifying, you know, careers, they often get paid less. you almost have to get to the highest degree, you know, to top out and make as much money. So you're definitely not in it for the money, but it has a high, social work career, that field has a high turnover rate and things like that. People get burnt out. So you definitely have to have it in you to be it, but most be a social worker. But most people that get into that field, they've already been doing social work or counseling somebody, you know, just people talking to people about their problems. It's already in them to some degree. So it's like people that get into social work, they're not about the money. They're really about helping people. They're like the best people ever, really.
That's right. And the other thing is, too, a lot of people need to think about with college that, you know, like I'm getting ready to start field. And, you know, you have to have your time for that, too. And then once you get in your master's, your field time is even more. Like, you know, for us, our field 15 hours a week for a bachelor and 18 hours for a master's a week. And, you know, instead of having two semesters of field in your bachelor's, you're having, I think, three semesters of field in your master's. So that's another thing that you have to stay encouraged for, because you know, when you're starting school and then you're going back and then you have field on top of your classes, it can get really overwhelming, especially when you have a full-time job and you're trying to go to school, taking care of your family,
not going to
field.
I was just going to say, fortunately, when I was getting my undergrad degree, I didn't have a full-time job. I did work part-time, but I don't know how people do it with a full-time job and doing – because when you go to the field placement, you're working just like anybody else there. You're learning. You're you go through the trainings that the other employees go through. During your course, during your course of time at whatever facility or program that you go to, you're working just like everybody else, because that's the point of you being there, is to start off somewhere and they train you and show you how to do groups or whatever. Because I did my field placement at a drug treatment center in Cincinnati, and I loved it. And, you know, by the time it was time for me to graduate my senior year when I did my field placement, I was running male and female groups with, like, a breeze. It was easy, you know. And, you know, so, but I was working just like all the other counselors.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't trade that experience and the information and the people that I met and the stories and the testimonies that I heard. I will never forget those, you know, for the rest of my life. It was just a wonderful experience. It was a wonderful experience for me.
Do you have any encouraging words that you could say for somebody that would possibly be a new student starting undergrad, that this would maybe in the fall would be their first semester? Because I remember when I started school, I cried the first 2 days I had school. I was in Student Center for Progress, like, I was there constantly. If it wasn't for them at the college, I don't know what I would have done. It was so overwhelming, especially, you know, here you are 25 years out of school, and it's just a whole overwhelming experience. And I know that definitely the one thing I could say for anyone listening that is just starting college, take advantage of your Student Center for Progress or whatever your student organization or whatever it is that helps the students that are new students. Make sure that you know exactly where they're located, because if you are having a rough day or it's hard for you, they absolutely can help you and encourage you. Do you have any suggestions for anyone that's a new college student?
Yes, definitely. I would say first, stay focused. And like I said, even with myself, look at the big picture. You're starting undergrad, so you do have 4 years, but it's a part of your life, 4 years out of your life that you're investing for the rest of your future. So you got to keep that in mind when you get tired, when it gets to be hard or whatever. Also, when you go to, usually when you move in or to school, if you're living on campus or not, whatnot, they give you about a week or so, you know, to get acquainted. Always get your schedule and find out where those buildings are, because you will get lost if you don't know the campus. And I always did a dry run where I found out where my class was, where the building was located for my different classes, where the, like we said, student union or student center was located. And they have programs and things for everything you can even think of. They even have counseling services, psychologists that you can talk to, even if you have problems that you've never dealt with from childhood, they have everything at college and universities. I didn't know that going in. I found that as, you know, I went on. But the more knowledge you gain about your resources, the better, you know. But I think that's very important to know your surroundings and where you're going, because you will get lost if you wait to the last minute trying to find your class. So, you know, absolutely. Just stay focused. Know your area, get your resources, you know, and be aware of your surroundings. Always try to have the buddy system. That's very important. People forget that too, you know, because there's a lot going on. And always try not to go anywhere by yourself, like late at night, because a lot of campus people or students walk, you know. And be careful about that too, because that was something that I learned along the way as well. You know, just be aware of your surroundings also, definitely.
And then I would like to add a few things, too. One is whenever you do your dry run and you go to your room, if you are into prayer, make sure you pray on the doorway and make sure you go in the room and pray in the room, pray on the desk. I'm telling you, every class I've done that. I always put God, you know, all right, Father God, here we go, another semester, here we go, we're going to school. And I've prayed on all the rooms that I've gone to before school starts. I've done it. I've put, you know, prayed on the doorways, the desk, the door the teacher stands, everything for God to give me favor. Another thing is that if you can't, do not, if you can, sit in the front. Do not sit in the back of the classes. And honestly, you will make a great impression to your professors if you're in the front of the class involved. And pay attention to them. Do not sit there and text message. And yeah, they notice that more than you think. Even for the people in the back, you know, they think because they're sitting in the back and whatever, they can use their phone. Those professors know. They're more wise than what you think. And you know, you got to think, imagine it being you standing up there. Wouldn't it bother you to see that? Now, if it's an emergency or something like that, that's one thing. But if you're just looking on your phone, look on Facebook or do whatever, have some respect for the professors, because you can learn a lot. You know, each one of your classes, you're paying like $50 a class each time you walk in there with your money for school. And, you know, get involved, ask questions, you know, and even if the questions seem silly, still ask them. And one of the biggest things that I do every semester, the last day of my semester, is I always write each one of the professors a thank you note. And I mean, with a handwritten thank you note, and thank them for their time, for investing in me. And I always do that because, you know what, they did teach me something, and I really did appreciate their time. And I just always do that, because those professors are going to have to go back eventually and get references and people that, you know, they're going to have to help you when you need, you know, to get people at school to support you if you're trying to apply for something or do something. So it's good to have some professors under your belt, you know, that know you and, you know, try to offer help or do something. I do that every semester since I started. I have been writing thank you notes, and that was something I just did on my own. And, you know, I just really appreciate the professors. They're part of my journey. And I have to say, you know, I'm in my last two of my bachelor's, and I've only had one professor. It was an anthropology professor that did not like me. I had to withdraw from the class because I was failing the class. I just didn't understand the way he was teaching. And I'm so thankful and blessed that happened, because the next anthropology professor I had, he was so amazing. The class was so interesting that I'm so glad it did happen. At first I felt bad, and then I was like, yes, this is great. This is a blessing that it happened. So I just wanted to say one other thing. If you're struggling in a class, like, say, for instance, math, or if you know that you possibly have a form of a disability in your math, in your reading, anything like that, please go to the Disability Center at your college and ask them to help you to see if you can be tested, to see if it can be shown that you do have a disability in that area, so they can get you the help or have those classes waived. Because my first time I took math, they put me in the basic math class. I passed with a B because a professor was an undergrad student. That was my professor, and he saw how much work I was doing to try to learn my math. But by my work, by me actually doing the math. I'm an F student, but because of the effort I was putting in, he gave me a B. So when I started the next math class, I had, like, I was failing the class. I couldn't get it because it was all computerized, and I just knew I don't understand it. So I had to go take a test to prove that I had dyscalculia for math to be able to be waived from my math classes. That's what I'm saying, like, don't count yourself out. Let the school help you if you have some form of,
right,
you know, trouble reading, comprehending, understanding. Don't count yourself out that you can't go to college, because if I can do it, you can do it. Believe me.
Right. It's so true.
Is there anything else you'd like to share today?
No, just stay focused, anybody that's out there, because we're all working together. Roberta's working, I'm working. We're all trying to get our degrees. So we just want to encourage you as we encourage ourselves. And if you are, like Roberta stated, even if you don't have a disability, there's tutoring services for everything. So make sure you use the tutoring services for writing, math, labs, everything. Any kind of class you can have tutoring in. So there's no reason you should fail.
Amen. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I always enjoy my time with you, Roberta.
You also, and I'll get you a trivia the next time.
Okay.
I'll get you more trivia next time. Thank you for your time today. I'm going to go ahead and close. Be safe
okay.
on your journey today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to Ms. Shavela Davis. And if you have a topic you would like her to speak on, please feel free to leave comments. You're welcome to follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Join us on Twitter at Motivation for You. You can email Shavela at cdavis@msintegritybeauty.com. Or please join us in our mission to heal hearts and inspire lives at www.msintegritybeauty.com. If you have a message, Integrity Beauty has the mission. And until next time, be a world changer.